You ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready for this?
I was born ready. I remember watching that VHS back in the day.
What VHS?
The Looney Tunes basketball VHS.
Oh, yeah.
What was that called? Smash.
Space Jam.
Space Jam.
Space Jam. There it is. Smash Jam.
Smash Jam. Same
Smash
thing.
Smash Bros.
Smash Bros. Super Smash Space Bros. Melee.
Bros.
Space Jam.
Smash Jam.
That was good. Yeah, they combined animation with real basketball players.
That
was
cool. Movie freaked me out. The aliens? Oh, my gosh.
Did you ever watch like the DuckTales on VHS where they like have the evil guy that turns into a bird?
Woo.
Like an eagle? Not bony tail. You didn't watch that?
I don't think I did.
Okay,
you're
missing out.
I don't remember it. Yeah,
you're missing out. It was good.
Maybe I'll go back. I don't know.
That one was good. The Brave Little Toaster. That two thumbs down.
Oh yeah, the Brave Little Toaster.
There's a song where all the cars get crushed. It's very upsetting.
Do you remember the like baby Looney Tunes? And I just
that was might have been a fever dream.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't remember watching them on the TV. I remember me and my like brothers and sisters would like sister at the time. Would not that she's not my sister anymore, but now I have multiple sisters, but at that time it was just one sister. Anyway, nobody cares. We would watch it on YouTube. Like we would have to go to the computer and look up those episodes and what. So it wasn't
I'm
like
surprised
was,
they were on YouTube.
Yeah. It's weird.
That was good. Yeah. The Brave Little Toaster, very scary. Did you ever watch it though?
I think I did. It was a movie, right?
Yeah. It was like a terrifying... Yeah. It's rated G.
Yeah.
And why it was rated G? I don't know. Name their car the Brave Little Toaster.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because it looks like a toaster.
That's good. Oh, speaking of which, Jack made a purchase, I know. Is that worth talking about or not really?
Yeah, no, we can talk about it.
Jack, talk about it behind his back.
Yeah, in front of all these people who want to listen to the
podcast. Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, he got a Tacoma recently, finally, a truck. So he's paving the way for me. I am like about ready to do it and just bite the bullet and do it.
You know you want to.
I really want to. Like, because again, we've talked about this before, but my car is great. I love my car. I love the way it looks. I honestly, even I kind of love the way it drives now. It's very small and whippy, you know, I can whip into places, you know.
Is it pretty decent pickup?
On like, my car?
Yeah. Pretty decent acceleration.
Yeah, it is. It's fine.
It's fine. It gets the job done.
You know, it's just, exactly. It gets the job done.
Because it's a V6, right? I know we talked about this.
It's an inline four.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
So it's,
sorry about that.
So I drove 8 hours with it recently and like, it was, the entire time on the interstate. It was just like, right at 3,000 RPMs. Like,
sorry about that.
Struggling.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it was rough. Oh, it was fine.
Great gas mileage, though.
Yeah, it was. I probably got like 24, 25 to the gallon.
That's not bad.
Which, like, for 2005, that's not bad. But yeah, there's so many small things that are wrong. And like, I don't like to actually make that car good and drivable and enjoyable. I would probably need to spend anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000 on it. Now, I could.
Cheaper than a truck.
It is cheaper than a truck. But also, I probably spent like $2,000 at least in the last year and a half on maintenance stuff. So it's like, I just, at what point am I throwing away money, you know? So I don't know. I'd rather like invest in something that'll last me till I'm like 30. You know what I mean?
Get you some good mutual funds going. I don't know if a truck is the best thing.
That's
here, but
fair.
Hey, I mean, you only live once, Joe. Like sometimes you just gotta like spend thousands of dollars and you know, you just have to be okay with it. Like this is the thing I'm doing. Yeah. I'm buying this. I've wanted it forever.
It just feels,
I'm gonna get it.
It feels wise to me. So I'm going to go to our test drive some. We'll see. But like I'm trying to do a Facebook market style,
like a 2005 Tacoma or something.
Well,
or
okay, that's the thing. I'm kind of thinking I want to go like 2012, 2013.
Ooh, look at you, Mr. Fancy. Did they have CarPlay in those? Like,
no, yeah. Probably not. But I just want one that's four wheel drive, four door, V6.
Yeah, V6 is important.
It just
right
feels
there.
Like to actually be able to do anything, you know. Ugh. And also the idea of like having a truck bed and like a tow hitch if I wanted to like.
I get the tow hitch, but you know like a lot of cars have tow hitches. A lot of SUVs have tow hitches.
It's true.
I don't get the appeal of like having half your back like not usable. Like how much stuff are you gonna haul going to CSF? Like I guess you might for the wish of night, maybe, but that's like once a year. I don't know, Joe. I'm not trying to yuck your yum. I don't get that. I truly don't get
that. I would not use the truck bed all the time. Obviously, rare occasions like the drive-in or like, I don't know, like people leaning on your truck bed, you know? Ugh, I want that so bad. But I just, to me, again, those trucks allegedly run basically forever.
It is said that those trucks run forever.
They can reach 250, 300,000 miles, you know? So if I could probably get, my car is at about 200,000 miles right now. So I could probably get like another 50 out of it.
Oh, at least, yeah.
But again, it's like, there's so many small things I would need to fix them. It's just, again, it's like, okay, at what point am I throwing away money I could put on a down payment and get something that's more reliable, that's newer, nicer, and probably going to last me 10 years at least.
Wait, Joe, are you going to go? Are you going to have payments on a car, Joe? Don't have payments on a car, Joe. Car payments are no good. No car payments.
Car payments are the devil. I've been quoted as saying
that. Did you not listen in financial peace class, Joe, with the car payments? Just buy it with cash, Joe. Either buy Dave Ramsey's all like, oh, you just buy it. You go in the car and plunk down your cash and say, this is my cash. I'm going to buy it.
Here's $16,000.
Here's my down. Take it or leave it.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, no, I just do what you want with your life. Just saying.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll let you guys know.
Make sure to put it on a credit card so you can get the, and make minimum payments.
Yeah, for real.
Just like extend a $20,000 line of credit, somehow get that, and then make minimum payments for like the rest of your life, oh then die. Gosh.
You know what's funny to me is that we used to talk about like Apple and like like movies and stuff. Now we talk about finance and like the economy and like.
You know, I love October, Joe. It's leaves are changing. It's cool out. You wake up, it's not 99 degrees with 99% humidity all the time, as it tends to be. But, you know, we're getting a little older. We're getting a little wiser with every single October that passes. We're a little older, a little wiser.
Oh, my gosh. Are you trying to segue into Lizzie McAlpine's new album? Oh, my gosh. Just say it.
Indeed, with new music and the changing season, we have a new Lizzie McAlpine album.
I did not finish Older.
Oh yeah, I actually waited to listen just to it all at once when Older by Wiser came out. Yeah,
got it.
Because I listened to the first three or whatever, and I was like, whatever. And then I was interesting. Yeah, because here's the thing. So, I mean, we talked about her music a bunch, and I think that 5 Seconds Flat, I think, is about as good as it's gonna get. Like realistically, this new one, Older. So there's Older is the main one, and then there's like a few bonus tracks at the end. Is Older and Wiser, so it's like disc two. It's the kind of the deal there with the extra songs. But I mean, I think that's about as good as it's going to get because Give Me a Minute, very good. Well, because it's like, what's the EP that I don't like very much? Indigo?
I think it's called Indigo, yeah.
Okay, there's some.
I don't know.
Is it though?
I think it's called Indigo.
World Stopped Moving.
Click Show All.
Show All.
I think that there's another one.
Oh, no, there's no Indigo.
What?
So anyway.
There definitely used to be.
Maybe there used to be. Maybe she deleted it or something.
What are you doing, Lizzie?
Anyway. so yeah, I'd never loved that one. But anyway, Give Me a Minute is good, obviously. There's some good stuff. And that's clearly like, she's in her element. She's like, her with the guitar being sad about stuff.
100%.
Being sad and
so
stuff.
So good.
5 Seconds Flat, we throw in some production. Yeah. It's like, okay, this is kind of cool.
Oh, man.
And
I forgot about all this.
To be honest, I was listening to this song today. It's a super, like looking back on it, 1 through 8 is super duper solid. I mean, if you could get split hairs if you want and say, oh, we skip weird, whatever. But like really one through eight. No, it's not. One through eight. I did skip it in the middle. I was like, I'm not feeling it. But
exactly.
So even on like weird is not the best, but it's like one through eight. Because Doomsday, An Ego Thing, Erase Me, Called You Again, All My Ghosts, Reckless Driving, Skip Weird, whatever, Ceilings. It's like, wow, that's amazing. What a Shame. Firearm. Hate to Be Lame. Nobody Likes Secret. Chemtrails, awesome. Yeah. Retro Speedway, awesome. So it's like, it's super strong 1 through 8. And then 9 through 14, it's like, kind of take some, got some hits and misses.
Honestly, the only ones I don't like are Weird, Hate to Be Lame, and Reckless Driving.
I used to like Hate to Be Lame a lot, and then I was like,
It's just not, But that's it. I mean, 3 bad ones out of 14.
Did you say you don't like Reckless Driving?
Not really. I don't know. What? Maybe I do. I don't know.
I mean, you don't have to fold under pressure if you don't want. That one's awesome. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just overplayed.
You know, maybe I do. I don't know. I need to probably listen to it again.
So anyway, with older and wiser, the deluxe edition with five extra songs, she's kind of back to her Give Me a Minute style, right? Because I think you said it felt like a combination between the two.
Yeah.
But like, and maybe it does because there's a little more production in some of the songs. Mm-hmm. But I think it really is just Give Me a Minute part two to some extent. Like, we don't really have any super duper hit song. We don't have it. There's no Erase Me. There's no Reckless Drive, mm-hmm. like equivalent. It really does feel like, again, her and a guitar, and maybe she brings in a little bit of a band on the side, but it's mm-hmm. like, there's nothing as in your face, which of course I miss the songs that are in your face a lot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's okay. I mean, it's fine. Come Down Soon is actually awesome. Like It Tends to Do is pretty darn good. And then
I liked All Falls Down.
All Falls Down. That's fair.
I didn't finish the album.
You still haven't finished the album?
No.
Joe? Really?
I need to finish it. Yeah. It's on the list. I haven't done it. You know what I did listen to, though? The extended edition for F1 Trillion by Bose Malone. Long bed.
That's funny. Did that just come out?
Recently, yeah. I don't remember. I don't think I talked about it last time. Literally, there's a couple on there that are phenomenal. You ought to hang on. So go to the, yeah. We're actually in person this time, listeners. We're in Zachary's elusive office.
My offsite office.
Yeah. So we're actually
undisclosed location. Well, yeah, we're looking at the same screen, computer screen. Yeah. We've got F1 Trillion Long Bed, which is the official extended version here.
Yeah, if you go down to the bottom and then...
Oh, that's a bunch of... Oh, yeah, my goodness. So there's like nine ones.
There's nine songs. Fallen in Love
is
Good.
How many hours is this? My goodness. Oh, hour 27. It's not that long.
Ain't How It Ends. Probably my favorite is Who Needs You.
Oh, it's like Western Swing.
It's like actual Texas Swing. Phenomenal fiddle work. Oh, my gosh.
That kind of reminds me of, there's like a friend of ours has like an unreleased country Western Swing album. It honestly sounds a lot like that.
Really?
What I just listened to. So it's pretty good.
It's pretty good stuff.
I do like Western Swing in small doses. I don't like a ton of it, but
yeah,
this can be good.
For sure.
Any listening to anything else good recently?
First off, we had a men's retreat for CSF this past weekend, and there were some guys who, like, as we were doing things, just started casually playing the Minecraft like soundtrack.
Classic.
And it was just like, as we were like getting ready to play Capture the Flag, or like when we were going to sleep in a tent, and it was like, it just made me, there was so much nostalgia.
Ding,
oh my god.
Ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh my god.
Someone just had a Bluetooth speaker and played Minecraft.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's good sleeping music. That
it really is. And it just, it was amazing, actually. So that's, you know, recommendation
number one.
You
recommend the Minecraft
one.
Soundtrack.
Recommendation number two is the Curious George movie soundtrack written by Jack Johnson. Phenomenal. That's where that song...
Was that Upside Down?
Yeah,
or
that's the most famous one.
Upside Down.
Say what's
impossible. That was the first one. Was that the one with the red idol that like is a hologram?
Yeah. With Will Ferrell and Drew Barrymore.
Isn't there a guy that like wants to tear down the museum and make a parking lot? And he pretends to steal the idol, but it's really a hologram.
Well,
and there's like an old man.
He goes and finds the idol, but it's like small and it's supposed to be massive. And like, but he was like 2 feet away from the real one and like didn't know it. So he just took the small one back. But then they've been marketing it as this massive thing. So then it's like, how does he tell Mr. Bloomsbury? And
is it Ted that does that?
Ted, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the man in the yellow hat.
Do you remember what happens in the second one? I remember it's like the animation style kind of changes a little bit.
I don't.
But they like
remember.
Go on a train.
Well, it became a show. Do you remember that?
Stop me if I've said this before. Do you remember? We might just be repeating a different episode. Do you remember the time when, like, as a kid, you'd read the Curious George books, and it'd be like one George was like playing out the rotary telephone or like spinning it at random or whatever, and there was literally verbatim. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. George had called the fire department, and the fire department comes to his house, and they're like, "You've been a very bad boy," and then they're like, "Lock him in prison."
What?
And they like, "Here is George," and there's like an image that's clear as day. I probably mentioned this on the podcast that like scared me when I was a kid or whatever, where he's like literally in prison. There's bars, there's like a bird flying outside or whatever, but he called the fire department on accident, and then they were like, "Yep, you're going to jail." They literally put him in prison. I mean, yeah, it's like the modern equivalent. I mean, the modern equivalent is just pressing the SOS button. Like, we have camp chairs at church. You open the camp chair, you jam your phone in the cup holder, it automatically squeezes the side buttons because it's too small.
Yep.
And it's like, meow, meow.
Yep.
And then, like, this one kid in our small group calls, like, 911 accidentally, almost, but he stops it every time.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, when will you learn?
When will you No, I don't remember that.
Anyway.
We didn't read the Curious George. I loved Curious George.
That was good.
But yeah, I loved the show. You never do know what's wrong. You remember that, the theme song?
That sounds right. That sounds right.
Curious George. Swinging.
Was there a TV show too, or just a... Was there only the two movies?
It was a TV show for a long time.
Same cast?
No. They didn't have Will Ferrell come back.
They didn't have the budget.
Having a hard sell.
He played Ted? Or?
Yeah, he played Ted.
Okay, interesting. I did not know that.
Drew Barrymore played the woman.
Okay. Love interest. Ted Ed.
Yeah.
Mrs. But Ted.
That's my second recommendation, is the Jack Johnson theme music from that movie is so sweet and like peaceful and nice. And then like a real recommendation would be like, there's a band I've been listening to recently called Dawson Hollow. And they're kind of like a... It's like... Do you know the Broken the Bluff? You remember them, right?
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, so it's like that, except a dash of folk.
Okay.
Like
okay.
A little... Like they have
I'm
a
listening,
fiddle.
I'm listening.
But it's like still pop. It's really good. So
I only have one recommendation. A lot of this is pretty basic music, but one little underground, I'll share it for you, is Worship Circle. It's not that underground, 104,000 listeners. I listened to the album Foundations Live by Worship Circle. It's just some old ones. You've got You Breathe, you've got Awesome in This Place, Indescribable, Your Grace is Enough. You've just got some oldies. Oh. But it's 2024, like it just came out. There's some videos online of like the cool room that they recorded all in with a big crowd. So Wow. Just some good old worship throwbacks. It's super well produced and yeah, definitely worth listening to. A little bit underground, like not really, but you know,
that's
not getting enough attention.
Open the eyes of my heart. Oh my gosh. Every single time.
Didn't we sing that the big old Sherwood Oaks worship night? Code breaking worship night. I feel like we did.
Maybe.
I feel like we sang like every song known to man that night.
Yeah, we did. The most recent one?
The most recent Sherwood Oaks worship night, giant worship night, community worship night.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, hey, I can do a book recommendation.
Yeah, book recommendation. Go.
God Has a Name.
Oh, of course. God Has a Name by John Mark Comer.
So
is that one new or old?
Well, actually, it came out 10 years ago, and he's doing like a re-release of it with like an extra chapter or something, I heard. So if you're wanting to get it.
John's version.
Get it now. Yeah, John's version. No, it's really good. So like, I'm just going to say it all. So basically, like, you know, I grew up calling God, God, because that's what we call him, you know, but. Really,
what if it's pronounced John?
Oh my gosh. I imagine that was the whole book. Actually, it's
that's what
John.
The extra chapter says. Actually.
No, but basically his point is like God has a name and he revealed it to Moses, and that name is Yahweh. And when the writers of the scriptures were translating it and writing it down, that name was so holy to them, they didn't even want to write it down. What it gets translated to now is L-O-R, like Lord, all caps. So when you see, like, we were talking before this, me and Zachary were, and just like talking about like Psalm 23, like the Lord is my shepherd. If you look at it, that like that Lord is not just like Lord, like landlord or like master, but like it's the all caps L-O-R-D, which is to say Yahweh is my shepherd, which like, again, small difference if you don't, because then the question is, okay, well, like, okay, so God has a name, whatever, but like, what does that mean? Like, what's his character? Like, because is it, so God has a name written by John Mark Comer, taking over the Western Christian world right now. I talk about him a lot because I think his writing is really good and it's easy to read. Anyway, but he basically spends the whole book talking about Exodus 34, verse 6, which is Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, and slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And then it goes on about how he forgives wickedness and rebellion and sin, but he doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. And then he'll bring the iniquity of the fathers on the children. And like, again, it gets a little weird there at the end, and he addresses that, and like, it's really, really intelligent and like so enlightening to me about, yeah, just like literally, God is God. God is a deity, a spiritual deity, far above men, but he's also a person and he has a name. And the name is Yahweh. And that when he describes himself, what he chooses to say first is that he's compassionate and that he's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. So like, I just, oh man, I think it's so easy to have a really warped view of God, you know? And I just love the book because it takes you right back to the start. And that's the first time God describes himself and gives us his name. And it means a lot. Like that's, I don't know, just, and again, we were kind of talking about this before, but in the book, he makes the point that like, you can argue it a lot of different ways, but we all, like Christians, most Christians, I would say, believe in some kind of other spiritual forces, spiritual beings. You can call them demons. You can call them the principalities of this world or, but what the view he kind of takes is like, they also fit into this role of like lesser little g gods, you know, who like are running around doing their own thing. And like the point that he's trying to make in that is that you look at these other spiritual forces who want to steal, kill, and destroy, who want to like scare the crap out of us and like take all our stuff and leave us empty. And then you look at Yahweh, who like not only doesn't want to do that, he's also not even neutral. Like he wants to, he's all the way on the other side. He wants to have a relationship with us. Like he wants us to know his name. He wants us to know his character, and he wants us to follow him so that he can help, like so that we can display his glory, but so that also in doing so, we live our lives the way that he intended, which is the best way to live our lives because he designed us. So he knows what's best, you know? So anyway, that's a lot of words, but I really enjoyed the book. It's a quick, in my opinion, it's a quick read just because the way he writes is very like, very conversational, very like, you know, punchy. I really enjoyed it. I would recommend it. I don't necessarily agree with everything he said, but like, I loved the exposition on God's character traits. So, and it's hilarious because we did a series on this last year at Encounter. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Yeah. So like we looked at each characteristic over 5 weeks and it was good, but looking back,
you'd add in.
Yeah. I would add in so much, which is so irritating, but hey, maybe someday I'll get to return to it. But yeah, so that's my book recommendation. You got any books?
I'll recommend Slow Productivity by Cal Newport, and a very classic. This is literally what always happens. Joe gives him like a book about Jesus and God, and then Zachary's like, how to be more productive. No, this is just interesting because I think like from 2000 to 2020-ish or something, all the books, nonfiction books, were like how to be more productive, how to do more or whatever. And then, you know, pandemic happens, different things happen, whatever. And then people are like, actually, there's more to life than being productive. And, you know, they kind of start to get the picture that it's better to do a few things well than to kind of burn yourself out and be miserable. So that book is Slow Productivity. It's kind of a combination of Deep Work and A World Without Email, which is two other of his books, but it kind of spins it in a new way. And, you know, it's kind of like secular advice of what God tells us to do anyway, but yeah. It's just kind of looking, you know, it's backing indirectly, even though it's not a Christian, but kind of backing some things up with science and saying like, you know, people do better when they kind of focus on less. You know, we're not necessarily built to work 40 hours a week. Sometimes there's not even really 40 hours a week of stuff to do. Mm-hmm. Like in theory, back when we were farmers, we had our times when we'd harvest, and then we had our times in the winter where we'd sit around and play songs on our guitar and like do nothing. So it's like humans aren't really built for like 40 hours at a screen necessarily, but in fact, they almost certainly aren't. Mm-hmm. But it's like, how can we reconcile that? How can we build a life? Like it was real. I found it really, really interesting. So would recommend. It's a little newer. So that's a new Cal Newport special. He writes all about productivity.
What's it called?
It's called Slow Productivity.
Slow Productivity.
Yeah, how to be more productive by being slower. Like imagine if you get more done, but go slower. Like that's kind of an interesting thought. You'd think you'd have to go faster, but maybe you don't. If you're me, you think that. So maybe you don't really have to in practice. So.
Yeah.
Here's my productivity book. I haven't read a lot. Need to do. Because I've started a few books, but I don't know. Nothing's super. Sometimes you start books and they just aren't really. They aren't really grabbing you.
Yep.
They aren't really. So I need to find some new stuff.
I have another recommendation, actually.
Ooh, what's that?
Let's see if this one tickles your fancy.
Okay.
I don't like that I said
that.
Yeah,
I don't like that either.
Anyway, have you ever heard of the Desert Fathers?
Is this some weird Dune thing?
No. Sounds like it, though.
The Desert Fathers, okay.
Basically, they were monks that went out into the desert in, like, the early, like, I don't quite know when I'm going to butcher it, but sometime after Jesus, I don't know. But like their whole goal was like to get away from everybody else and to like live a life of solitude.
Ooh,
and
that's like, it. Okay. I didn't read about that. That's interesting. I think,
cause you told me about that book you read that one time about that 1800s guy who went out to the middle of nowhere and lived.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Walden. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What's that called again?
It's called like Walden Pond, I think. Okay. Yeah. It's by Henry David Thoreau, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's honestly, really it's a lot like that. And basically it's just like a collection of like their sayings and stories. And it's, in all honesty, it's probably going to be a little bit more mystical than...
No, I could do a little mystical. You
know. It's really...
More
it's
mystical
cool,
than
though.
Walden Pond.
Yeah, yeah. And it just, yeah, it gives like a glimpse into what their life was like. And kind of like this idea, I don't know if you've heard this preached like on when Jesus goes out and faces the devil, you know, that like he went into solitude not to get away from spiritual warfare, but to confront it and like to battle it well. And like, it's basically that, like these guys didn't get away from everything so that they could like live a life of ease, but so that they could like practice asceticism and like denying themselves and like, yeah, really like try to eliminate everything that was between them and God, which is really interesting in a lot of different ways. And me and Jack have been talking about it a lot.
Yeah. Jack said a few things at small group tonight. It was like, that's interesting. Like he's unmooring himself from technology a little bit and like removing things. Yeah. And I'm like, that's kind of interesting.
He is all about it. And like, I think it's really
looking him go.
Really. It is really cool. And it's inspiring to me.
go ahead.
I think I'm going to try the light phone thing again.
I think you want to publicly commit to that?
I know, right? That's what I'm saying. I think, because I don't want to commit to it too hard. To me, I really need some strong boundaries with work. And like, if I have my phone all the time, it's really hard for me to be separate from work. And so
it's just that people text you, you're getting like two or three different texts from two or three different people. Every hour?
I mean, yesterday
maybe?
Was Sunday. I had a student call me twice about something and another student texted me, and it's like,
where does personal life begin?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I've tried to do like color coding systems where like, and that's actually helping. So like, I don't like if the,
what do you mean by
if the contact card is red, that means it's a student I'm not responding to that over the weekend or after five, unless it's an emergency.
Wait, you can make contacts red? Yeah. How does that work?
So like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like that, like.
You make the profile pictures and messages be red.
Yes. That's what I mean. So like, friends are a certain color, and like that means I respond to them after a certain time. Or
maybe you could do like focus modes or something.
Yes, I've thought about that too. I don't know. I think what I'm seeing in Jack, which is inspiring, really, is like, and John Mark Comer says it in that book, Practicing the Way. Like, it's about subtraction and not addition.
Yeah, it is. So addition like, by subtraction.
Yeah,
if you will.
Right. It's like you get rid of all the stuff. Like I think that I truly believe that's why Jesus says it's hard. It's more difficult to be rich and get into the kingdom of God, because money is just another thing in between you and God. You know, it's a thing that gives you false confidence in the world. It's a thing that makes you more prideful, and it puts a gap between you and God, you know, and not one that's not overcomable, but like I think that's why it's harder to be a rich person and be a faithful follower of Jesus, is because you got this money and it's like in between you and God. And so I think that's why he tells us to give it away so that we get rid of it. You know what I mean? And I just think I'm seeing that in Jack, and I appreciate that. And more, I just want to live 30 minutes outside of town and like hear the crickets at night, you know?
Oh,
and like,
man.
And have some space.
That would be nice.
You know?
That would be actually and super nice.
Yeah. I mean, would it suck to have to pay that much gas?
Yes.
Yes. But like, is it worth it? I don't know. I think so.
You're going to need a different vehicle.
Yeah, like, right. Not a V6 truck.
No V6 trucks for that much gas. That's terrible. Oh, man. Yeah, but it's expensive. But no, that would be nice. Like seeing the stars.
Yes.
Having your own land.
Yes.
Like
space.
In my head, it'd be nice. I wonder if it's ultra expensive or not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. My parents did like they bought land. And they lived on like the little place that was there.
Your parents bought their house for 3 cents and a bucket of bread back in 1855.
No, but honestly,
and now it's worth $45 million.
Okay, here's a tip that my uncle, great uncle, I think, who's like he's worked in construction for a long, long time. But he told me like, if you're looking to buy land, like buy like a trailer, because they already have power, sewage, and water run to them. And so you don't have to like run that from the road. It's already there. And then you can like build on the property.
You can
live in the trailer, you know?
Oh, yeah. You can connect to the sewer with a different house, build a different house that connects to everything.
Yeah, so that's what my parents did. They bought a little, I don't know. I think it was a trailer, but it could have been like a little house. I don't know. But they bought a little place and they lived there and everything was already there. And they just built the house that we live in now, or that I grew up in. They built that while they lived in that little place.
They actually like picked up hammers and nails, or they like hired someone to come
help
them build it?
I think my dad did a lot, but they hired contractors and stuff like that.
How hard is it to build a house? Asking my friend.
Dude, let me think about this.
It's probably reasonably hard.
I think that they did it over the course of like a year or two.
How big is the house?
It's
not that.
I still cannot believe you've never been to my house.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
I've never been to Joe's childhood home. I was going to go like a bunch of times. It always said, it's like, oh, well, let's have people over. It's always like switched houses at the last minute, or Joe was sick. Or
you didn't come to my grad party?
I think we were out of town.
That's crazy.
I wouldn't have missed it on purpose. I think we were out of town.
Oh my gosh. Looping it back. I go out to my parents' house and it's so nice. And I mean, it's not perfect, right? Like there's a bunch of kids running around still, and
it happens the best
of us. But that's noise you choose, and that's family, you know. So it's like I love it, and I walked out last night, and like you can see the stars, and you can hear the crickets, and like there's nothing going on. There's no police sirens. There's no, you know, city lights, street lights, nothing. I mean, and we're not like that far out. We have neighbors, but like we have a backyard and a creek, and like it's just nice, you know, and
your own little spot.
Exactly. And I think I don't feel called to be a desert father. I don't feel called to go out and live.
Just got some big news,
you know, but like as much as I can, I want to live the life of a monk, you know. I want to be as close to God as I can be, and I think part of that is getting away from the noise and in the city, you know. And I mean, I think like being close-ish is fine, but I don't know. And I love my apartment. I love that it takes 10 minutes to get to work, but like, I feel like for me, it'd be worth it to have my own place.
You could do that. Yeah.
You know,
I mean, obviously the best of both worlds is like, there's some houses that are like millions of dollars that are like 5 minutes from everything and have its own plot. It's like, well, everyone wants that. You know, the budget. Yeah. They've got like their little, like there's one like house I saw found when I was walking the other day. That's like, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Is it on the trail, the new trail, like down, like the Jackson Creek Trail?
That's a good answer. Yeah, that's the one I could mention. There was a different house I was thinking of even, but you're right. There's a house that's like, that's got to be like $10 million. It's like, it's its own perfect farm, and it's literally 1 minute from Kroger.
Yes.
Literally 1 minute from Kroger. But it's like, it's an open field in every direction. Yeah. Now, I'm sure the value kind of went down. Now they built a trail going that kind of cuts through or whatever, but it's like, there's goats in there. There's like this giant mansion. There's like... people, I'm sure, partying in there at all hours of the day or whatever. It's like, what is this place?
It looks so sweet and
it looks so nice. Like, let's go on Zillow right now and make a vid, make a quick vid. No, there's some cool houses, but
so desert fathers. I don't know if that sounds interesting.
So they take a vow of silence or anything, or what do they do?
Not necessarily. They like live in these, they call them cells. So it's like,
I don't like that.
Yeah, I know, right? So, but they choose it. So it's like, you are like alone most of the time, you meditate on the scriptures. And again, it's not like one narrative. It's not fiction either. It's like stories, like brief little stories and sayings and lessons learned. And, Jack told me this one that was like, this young monk said to the older monk, like, hey, you're getting old. Like, why don't we go to the city one last time? And the old monk said, okay, that's fine. Just let's go somewhere with, like, I'll go anywhere. Like, let's go where there's no women. And the monk was like, there is no place we can go with no women. And the old monk was like, exactly. So let's just stay here. You know? And I think it was in the section on lust or whatever.
Oh, right? fair enough.
He had learned over time that like, he just didn't.
One way to do
it. You know,
it.
Right? Exactly. So it's just, not that that's maybe not the best example, but it's the one that came to my mind. There's one about like two monks who like didn't ever quarrel. And they were like, let's quarrel. And they were like, we don't know how, because we've never done it, you know? And, or like,
fable-esque?
It kind of feels like that way. There are like historical figures though involved. And
is it sort of historical fiction-ish / fable-ish?
I would say it's more historical than fiction. but it feels like a fiction because you're like reading these like sayings of.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know.
I'll give that a try.
You can, yeah, you should give it a try. It's like there was one that was like, you know, there are three monks and one of them like wanted to like solve all the world's problems. So he like went and did interpersonal reconciliation. And there was one that like wanted to serve a bunch of people. And so he went and did that. And there was one that wanted to go to the desert and be quiet. And like both of the other ones were like, this is too hard. I don't know how to do this. And so they like went and visited each other. And they were like, I don't know how to do this. It's really hard. Then they went to the one who was in the quiet desert and he was like, yeah, I'm doing all right. Cause like, I'm just being quiet, you know, spending time with the Lord all the time. So, it's, I mean, I'm like over grossly simplifying, but like, it's just, I don't know. I think it's like, obviously we should always go back to the Bible, but like, it's kind of cool to see other people of the faith dealing with things, but even like ancient people, like Augustine, like Confessions. I don't know if you've ever read that. But like literally it's just St. Augustine's journal. And like, he was like a raging sex addict and like came to the Lord. And like some of those quotes in there are really, really good. I'm sure you've probably heard, you made us for yourself, O Lord, and we will be restless until we rest in you. Like that's him, you know? And like, I don't know. It's just cool to read. It's almost like extracurricular Bible. Like, like it's not scripture, but it's like ancient believers who like probably struggled with the same things that we struggle with now. But it's like wisdom for those things specifically. I don't know.
I mean, I kind of have had a dream before where it's like I could go someplace like Jack Craig's cabin or something, yeah. Nice cabin in the woods, by myself for like a week, say nothing, like just kind of sit around. It's like I feel like I'd be healed from the inside out if I did that.
There's a place Jack went in. He's told me about it in, I think, South Carolina. And it's this, literally, I think it's a monastery technically, and it's run by monks, and you can stay there technically for free, but they like would like for you to give some money. Literally, you can go there. They have a room, they have food, and it's just you. It's a silent retreat center, and you go and you say nothing, and you have a little room, and you like read and you rest, and they have services like monastic services that they observe like every 3 hours or so.
Sounds kind of nice.
And there's like a priest, I don't know if he's a priest or he's a minister who like meet with people if you want to meet with somebody and talk with them. But like, it's literally there so that people can go and like have a silent retreat. And Jack did it. And he said it was awesome. And he wants to go back. I want to go with him.
Road trip.
Yeah. Right. But like literally,
wait, how long was the said silent retreat?
I think he did it for like 3 days, 2 days. Oh, or 3 days.
Not
or
too
something.
Bad. Yeah. I was but thinking like a week.
He said he like read the whole book of Acts and just like meditated on it. And like, he actually, that was like, I don't, not like in a charismatic way, but like, I do think people get words from the Lord, you know?
Yeah,
and like, he shared one with me that he got for me is what he said, you know? And it was actually pretty, it was pretty cool. So
that's awesome.
Anyway.
Ferb, I know what we're doing today. Going to the silent retreat in South Carolina.
I'll look it up. I don't remember what it's called. It's
called the South Carolina Silent Center.
I'm actually
SCSC.
Because I want
short.
You to be able to link it in the show notes.
Oh,
so
fair
I
enough.
Wanna,
yeah,
I
want
to. Well, if you it. Still do that. Do you still do that?
I still do show notes, yeah. Just limited show notes for relevant points.
Let me. South Carolina. Sorry, I'm going to look it up, but you can say if you want to add anything.
Nope. That's it. I'm going to do a silent retreat starting now on podcast.
It's really pretty good.
It's one of those things. It might sound fun, but then you do it and it's like, get me out of here.
Mm.
But in my head, it's very peaceful.
Oh yeah.
Cause I think it's like, sometimes if I get up early, like for me early is like 5:30 or 6 or whatever, but let's say got up and then like, you know, did exercise, got ready for the day, whatever. It's like, man, I've just been like doing stuff in silent for like 4 or 5 hours. It's like, this is kind of nice. I like this. It's very, very peaceful.
That's dude. I will say,
and you just kind of get lost in your task. Yeah. Like, it's just like you sort of flow from one thing to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And just feel good about it.
When I find when I am the most rested, I'm at least 10 feet away from all of my technology. I'm usually outside and I usually have a Bible and I sometimes will fall asleep. Like this past, I think it was last Thursday. Before Encounter, I went home just because I knew I'd be working 6 hours that night. So I just took some time in the middle of the day and I went home and I sat on my deck. I have a little small deck attached to my apartment and I sat on my deck. It was super nice outside and I just like sat there and read a little bit of the Bible. My phone was inside, which like is a little risky because I'm like, I don't know if somebody will need something. I don't know what time it is. So, like, you know, but I'm just like, I'm going to take a a little bit. And so I read, and then I just was like, I was like in the sun, and the sun was warming me up, and the warmth was making me tired. And so I laid flat on my deck, and I fell asleep, and I just rested, and it was wonderful. And like, I count that as Sabbath. Like
that
like,
counts. That yeah, totally counts.
You know, like just rest, like dwelling on the Lord, reading his word, resting in him, either like metaphorically or literally. Oh, I could pick this up and ask him if like what
do the retreat center is called.
Oh, Jack's calling me. Hang on. Hello. I'm actually still recording, and it's funny because I just brought you up. What's the retreat center called in, was it South Carolina or North Carolina?
MEQRSTWXYZ.
Do it again. You're on speaker.
M is in Mary, E P K I, N is in Nancy, Abby.
Mepkin Abbey. Okay. That sounds good. Can we all go to it, Jack, sometime? Like that'd be fun.
You just say the date and I'm there.
I was telling him about the Desert Fathers.
It's like that might be fun.
And
oh my gosh, you guys should have me on sometime to talk about the Desert Fathers.
We can do that. Oh, Jack, you read it too?
Yeah, that's where I got it.
We can have you next time. We can have you on for real, or sometime we can have you on for real.
That would be awesome. I would love that.
Your place. It's a date.
All right, it's a date. We'll do it.
Bye, Jack.
Okay, Joe. Don't forget to pick up some honey on your way home.
Some honey.
We'll see about that. Okay.
Jack's about to make like a peanut butter, banana, and honey sandwich.
Where do I even get honey from at 10:30 at night?
Like Kroger. Is Kroger still open? Is Kroger? You should be open, right?
Till what? Like 11?
Midnight? Question mark.
I'll look it up.
Is this Mandela effect? Did Kroguchi used to be open 24 hours?
And I'm making right, that up. But COVID.
Then they switched. Yeah, they switched, COVID and now they're not open 24 hours.
Anyway,
what you gonna do?
Okay, thanks.
Bye, Jack.
Bye, guys.
All right, love you. Bye.
Yeah, it's like in my head. It's one of those, man. You know the Fruit of the Loom Mandela effect thing? You've heard of that, right?
Mm-mm.
You know the Fruit of the Loom underwear, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
What does the logo look like?
It's a bunch of fruit.
And is there, what else is in there?
I just remember grapes. I don't know why.
Okay. What does it look like? What else
just,
is in the logo?
It just looks, I just remember fruit.
Okay. So there's nothing else in the logo except fruit.
No.
Interesting. Yeah. So like a bunch of people remember there being a cornucopia in there as well.
Oh, really?
But Joe doesn't apparently. And I remember there being a cornucopia. Absolutely. But it's like there wasn't because it's never been found, not even one single Fruit of the Loom thing, like not even a special edition or like a long time ago when the logo was different. There's never been a cornucopia there, but a bunch of people remember it.
Really?
And I remember it there as well.
Huh.
And so I talked to my mom who would buy Fruit of the Loom things back in the day, and she's like, no, it never, the cornucopia was never there. Isn't that weird though?
That is weird,
like a bunch of people remember it being like to the right in a very specific place, and I remember it there too. Huh. So it must be that everyone's just either like phased out of another dimension or maybe we're just all confusing it with like there was a different similar logo we're confusing it with.
Interesting.
But there's that. There's the Berenstain Bears. There's like some different ones that everyone thinks it's one way, but it's really another way.
Hmm.
It's the Mandela effect.
Man.
So I was thinking, is it a Mandela effect that like the Kroger used to be open, you know?
Yeah.
Was it really open 24 hours? Am I making it up?
Walmart and Kroger, I think Kroguchi was open 24 hours. And then
Walmart used to be open 24 hours? Like before Corona virus?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't, I can't quite remember that.
But I don't know why, but COVID killed all that. At least here in Wilmington. Yeah. I'm sure other places,
yeah.
But
there's probably not
CVS
a ton of.
CVS still open 24 hours.
There's probably not a ton of point for it to be open 24 hours, to be honest.
You just get like weird people.
People being weird.
Yeah.
And only self checkout.
Yeah, right.
I assume it's still like open to staff for restocking and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like open for business.
I agree. Why is it called the Mandela effect?
It's called that because people thought that, like a bunch of collective people thought Nelson Mandela died in prison, but he didn't, like he was still alive. I don't know if he's alive. I don't know if he actually like died for real.
I think surely he's dead now.
Surely by now. But like a bunch of people thought he died in prison, but no, he's just out actively doing things in the world. So it's the effect where a bunch of people think it's one way and then it's, surprise, it's another way.
Huh.
But it's like, why does everyone think the same thing? It's just a comment. Like everyone thinks there's a peanut butter called Jiffy, but there's not. At least that one has a reasonable explanation, which is that people are confusing Skippy and Jif, and they're combining them into Jiffy. But there was never a Jiffy peanut butter.
Huh.
There's some like, you know, TV show as a kid that everyone thinks existed, but that never did. But maybe they're just confusing like it with a movie that came out at the same time. Or, so there's some of them have explanations where it's like, okay, fair enough, they're just getting confused about stuff.
Mm.
But some of them are like the cornucopia in Fruit of the Loom. Like that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Why cornucopia? Everyone remembers it to the right. And I remember it to the right. It's like, why?
That is weird.
It's just spooky. I remember it that way.
Huh.
So we just phased in from an alternate dimension. That's the only.
I think the only, and this isn't, it doesn't even really work. I'm going to just admit that off the top. Like, but I just remember Bible stories with VeggieTales, like veggies. It's like, of course, Rack-Jack and Benny were chocolate factory workers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Being it's kind of the same employer, thing. Yeah. You know?
Like, workplace.
Yeah. But then, I don't know. You go and read it. It's very.
So you're saying like you remember the Bible stories with the fake VeggieTales version, but then really. Yeah, no, that's
kind of similar. I can only think about Rack-Jack and Benny. I'm not thinking about Rack-Jack, Meshach, and Abednego.
You can help me settle a debate here. Did it used to snow more? I feel like it used to snow.
I do feel like
yes. It used to snow thank more. You, Joe. My family, like my mom and dad, are like it didn't used to snow more. Zach, what are you talking about? It's like it used to snow more. It used to snow a lot more. It used to snow a lot heavier. The snow we used to be like snowed in for days at a time. And nowadays there's like one or two snows.
I
maybe
feel like it's just because and it just melts. Like it was
no. It used to snow more. I swear. It used
you
to
really
snow
think
more.
It used to snow more?
It used to snow more.
I think it used to snow more.
It actually used to snow more. That's a fact. It would be like super powdery, and we'd play in it, and it would. Yeah, there it absolutely and now it just barely snows once and then like melts in 5 seconds.
Totally topic change. Have we talked? We probably have. Over the Garden Wall.
What's that?
We haven't talked about it.
That doesn't sound familiar.
It's a show. It's a cartoon.
This is another thing totally where Joe likes it. Cartoons written for children.
Look, okay. Well, yes, I think it was created by somebody who was friends with Alex Hirsch, who did Gravity Falls.
Okay,
so it's very Gravity Falls esque, but not like in the same style. It's a very different style.
What's it about, Joe?
Well, you should just go watch it.
No spoilers.
There are 10-minute episodes. It came out like 10 years ago.
Is there like
Network.
Subway? Is it vertical with Subway Surfers gameplay on the side or like?
No.
10 minutes is pretty short.
10 minutes. It's like this like mystical. It's like fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's very cool. It's very intriguing. It like really catches you because it's like this. It Elijah Wood, who was Frodo in Lord of the Rings, was in it. He was one of the voice actors. Anyway, you just said that's a fact, and then one of the characters says that's a rock fact. It's very funny. Anyway, it just reminded me of that. It's
sounds very
Halloween-y,
millennial.
Very fall.
Ooh, if it's very Halloween-y, I can go
you
with
you should
that.
Definitely watch it, like, soon. Like, this week.
What happens
week.
If I don't watch it? Is that threat?
You should watch it soon.
It's like, what's the hit
No, it's really, really good. Episode 2 specifically really grabbed me.
What's the name of the like British actor that plays Bilbo that also is like in Black Panther and stuff?
Oh,
or
Martin
Frodo,
Freeman.
Not Bilbo, Frodo.
Right.
Martin Freeman. Yeah. There's a guy at Sherwood Oaks who looks like exactly like Martin Freeman. Really? Not like exactly, but like enough where you're like, oh, it kind of catches you off guard.
Martin?
It's like, oh, is that him?
Bilbo?
Yeah. He plays, Doctor does he play Bilbo or Frodo? No, I can't remember.
Yeah.
He plays Bilbo for sure. Not
yeah,
Frodo.
In The Hobbit.
Yeah. 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 Anyway, it's just funny.
Yeah.
I see him. He's in the same spot every time. Just got done traveling Middle Earth. Here to worship the Lord. It's like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Celebrity lookalikes. Like, they don't look that. It's probably like the lighting's not that good. Like, I'm sure they don't look that alike. Did you ever notice that? Let's say at youth group, for example, there's a bunch of like brother sister pairs, but like one is a guy and one is a girl.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, you guys look exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know you're different genders, but you look exactly the same.
Yeah.
But it's like, you when it's your own family, you can't tell. You're like, what do you mean? We look so different. And then everyone else is like, you look exactly the same. It's like there's zero genetic diversity going on right now.
Like the only difference is the hair. Like
yeah.
Your hair. But like your face structures are all
the same. The face structure's identical for sure.
Yeah.
And we can't really see it as much, but it's identical.
For sure.
We're just too used to each other.
Well, I don't think me and my sister look alike. I don't think me and sister Sarah.
Honestly, not a
ton. Maybe the eyes, but I don't know.
Yeah, honestly, not a ton. Yeah, honestly, you and Arya look really alike.
That's funny.
It's too far.
No, I think it's funny. Anyway, it's just her birthday.
Happy birthday, Arya.
Yeah.
I just remember that she wasn't she like 1 year old not that long ago? And now she's like, what, six?
She's nine.
Oh my, she's not
she
nine.
She just turned nine.
Get out. Shut the front door. She's not nine.
She was born in 2015, and she's nine now, because it's 2025.
Oh, no.
Dude, I know. John... who was born in 2010,
don't say
is
it.
14.
No.
And he's a freshman in high school.
It. The grave
and I
is looming.
His diapers.
Yesterday morning.
Literally feels like that.
That's funny.
It's freaking crazy. But now I know how people felt, like older people, when I tell them I was born 9 days after 9/11.
And they're just like, that was 10 minutes ago.
I was in high school or whatever.
My hobby is freaking people out by telling me I was born in 2002. They freak out so hard when you do that.
Yeah.
Because I remember having this one friend over we were friends with this kind of this family, and so they had just had a baby, so they were like had a baby girl or whatever, and then I see her and she's like 16 or 17. I'm like, that can't be right.
Yeah,
no, or no, right. I don't think she's 16 or 17, but maybe she's like 15. I don't know. Yeah. Kids are hard. Yeah. But just, whoever she is, it's like, that can't be right. Yeah.
I just went that to cannot a, be right. Bobcats cross country meet today, which was very nostalgic for me because
why'd you do that?
John runs.
Oh, for John.
And it was Hayden Ludhart's senior night.
Nice.
And so
congratulations. I hear he's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like 5K time is probably like my 1 mile time. Dude, I know.
Yeah. They're very,
they're pretty good.
He got like fourth overall or whatever in the meet. So, he's very good. But anyway, just being there, like, remember, well, wait, what was I going? Oh yeah. 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 All the, these kids,
all the kids that were like the goofy, like annoying kids in high school.
Yeah. Yeah, they were all like, they're in high school too. Like sixth graders, whatever. Now they're like seniors, juniors. And it's like,
because I felt like I was reasonably old in high school, but now it's like, no, you weren't. You're an idiot. And then same for college. Like, I've, you know, maybe in college I had this false sense of like, oh, I've kind of, you know, I'm getting a little old. Like, I kind of know what's going on. And it's like, no, you don't know what's going on at all. No, get out of town.
Like, I even look at old pictures of myself. I felt like such an adult in college. And I look at,
but it's like, no way.
Such a baby in these photos.
Yeah,
you know?
Just a child.
Crazy. And I'll probably do the same thing
it's
5 years from now. It's a cycle.
Relative. It happens.
We always get nostalgic and like introspective.
Maybe because I heard some quote about how like the only like life you live is like from 1 to 20, and then the rest of your life you're just thinking back on that, like trying to figure it out and decipher what happened. Dang. And like all that. So we've already lived our life. Now it's time to just go back and decipher it. I can't remember where that quote come from.
I hope that's not
true. I think it came from where breath becomes air. Put it in the show notes, but it was this book. I think that it talks about it. Yeah, it's a pretty intense book. It talks about like this neurosurgeon named Paul Calianthi, I believe, who's perhaps in a cruel twist of irony, diagnosed with brain cancer, I think.
Oh.
And then he like knows he's going to die or has a year left, and he's kind of writing his book as he's dying. Wow. And so he kind of, I don't remember if that's his quote or not, but he, I thought, put that quote in there, even if it wasn't his. Pretty tough book.
Yeah.
Someone from church recommended it to me, and I was like, this is a tough book. But
yeah.
Certainly left its, I remember it, so.
Yeah.
I don't know, Joe. Are you afraid of death? I kind of alternate being afraid of death and not being afraid of death these days. You're afraid of dying, maybe?
I'm not afraid of death because I believe in an afterlife, and I believe in heaven. If you told me I was going to be tortured to death, you know, I'd be like, oh, that, yeah, I'm afraid of that. Like, I don't want pain. But I don't know. I am ready to be with Jesus.
Maybe I'm just worried that I I feel like I haven't done everything I want to do, but
mm-hmm.
I guess that'll probably never change even if I live a long time.
Yeah, it's like ambition is good. Ambition is good. But like,
But like the paradox of Jesus, right? It's like Jesus wasn't like a quote unquote ambitious guy. He just like, he was like, you know, went around living his life. He just was
it's
in the moment.
Because he had a goal. Like
he had a goal, but he didn't. He never rushed.
Never
like hurried people along. Like, oh, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Like I think that some of the people the most Christ-like are like, you never feel rushed. Like they let you in the conversation.
Yeah.
They don't rush you.
And life is too short. You know, the days are too evil to be stressed out all the time and like to just like miss it, you know, like even like, I don't know, man, I feel like I've been finding the Lord in like last night when I walked out of my parents' house to go home and it was like midnight because I stayed too long. I walked out, the garage light was off and I looked up at the stars and I went pee behind the garage because that's what you do. And because when you live 30 minutes away from everybody else, you can do that.
There's a patch of dead grass here, yeah. It's like, oh my goodness.
No big deal. And I looked up at the stars and oh my gosh, like God is so freaking good.
Yeah.
And I just started praying and like, I don't know, just it just like creation is too good and I'm too young and life is too short to just be stressed out all the time with like all the crap that this world will try to impose on you. And I think that's also why I'm feeling this like, man, I need to set some boundaries up here because it's so easy for me to bring work home and be stressed out about it and to like think about all this stuff I got to do or whatever. And like, I just need to be able to breathe and rest and like really separate myself and say, I am not my work and my work is not my life and my life is after work. And I can find life in work, but like life is not work. Life is after work.
For sure.
I need friends and I need community. I need solitude. I need family after work to like enjoy my life. You know?
Yeah. You're not going to hear any argument from me.
I'm just trying to enjoy my life.
So back to the light phone, you think?
I'm thinking that might be just, and not like in a super aggressive way, but just like leave my phone in my car, you know? And if you want to get a hold of me after 5, you need to have that number and you need to know to text that number. But we'll see. I just, it's worth it, you know, because it's not worth my life to be like worrying all the time with my phone in my hand. I don't know. Not that my phone is inherently bad, but my phone allows me to worry a lot more than I would on my own.
It's almost like it's just the iMessage problem where it's like work and personal gets mixed together.
Exactly.
It's like in a perfect world, like could you have a work Apple ID? And like, or I'm trying to think how that could work.
Yeah, like shut them, like switch them. Focus modes help. I don't know.
But focus, they help, but they're not perfect is the problem. Stuff can still get through. You can still see stuff. So.
Yes.
I honestly don't know what to recommend besides like going back in time and like never giving out your personal number to students.
For real. But see, okay. But you know, I'm just not sure what to recommend. Super dumb, simple thing is just ignore it. Like
if you're me, that doesn't work though.
I agree.
I'm like, I agree. I cannot stop thinking about this.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Cause I've had a couple like work related texts come in the weekend. Yeah. It's like, well, I kind of have to respond. Like it's like the response could be, I'm going to work on this later, but like, I'm not just going to come on.
Forget about it.
Yeah. Like, it's going to be in my head.
Exactly. Especially, yeah, just
like, yeah, but there's no clean answer. There's no clean answer.
I'm like such a firm believer that the world will try to pump as much stress and anxiety as it can on you and on your life. If you let it.
And what you do is you let it roll off and let it bounce and don't let it commit its evil.
People that know me the best know I don't do that well, but I'm trying. Right. And I think. I'm an easily stressed out person. I think
that's funny, Joe, because you never seem stressed out.
I think you catch me at good times.
My timing, is like insane.
I just think I'm easily like
I describe you as such a not stressed out person.
Well, and that's, I appreciate that, and I think a lot of the time, like I can put that forward, but like.
You're just showing me what I want to see.
Well, not necessarily, because I think let me think about this.
Okay, no worries.
It's weird because I think I am easygoing. But like, for instance, like on Sunday, like Jesse texted us. We had a small group with his high school friends and some of them were in town. And so he was like, let's all get lunch. And so I was like, great, let's do that. And then Jack was like, oh, I'm just going to invite all of our church friends too. And like, and my sister was in town with her boyfriend. And so like these like three different contexts of people.
Oh yeah, that's no good. You can't have
that. I was honestly frustrated. I was like, why would we invite all these different people? Like I just like, and that kind of stuff stresses me out. Or like somebody says something to me with a weird tone and I'm like, are they like upset with me? Like, did I do something wrong? Like, and then that'll bother me if I let it for like hours, you know? And like, that kind of stuff, or like details on like plans and like, but it's weird. I don't know. I need to probably explore this within myself a little bit because I am a laid back person, generally speaking, but then I like, there are specific things that bother me or stress
me.
So
if someone texts you, then it's bothering you, but you just aren't responding. So you just like let it bother you and not respond and not respond.
But I'm trying to work on my,
unhealthy.
I'm trying to let the Lord like I'm trying to practice the discipline of like trusting that the Lord is good and that even if a stressful text comes in after 5, there's nothing I'm going to do about it after 5. And I'm not, and in fact, like I'm trying to experience peace from the Lord so much so that I'm going to try and not let it bother me, even though it very well could. And sometimes really does. Like there were some stressful situations that happened at work earlier this year. And I like that month I had like 2 migraines because I was so stressed out about it all the time. And it's like, man, it's not worth my life. You know, like
it isn't your life. It's not worth your life.
It's not worth my life. It's worth my paycheck. And that's great. But like, but it's not worth my life.
There's a certain element of not my circus, not my monkeys at play.
Exactly.
It's like, if you guys want to be stupid, like you can be stupid, but don't involve me.
I'll pick up a call from a student from 9 to 5. 100%. I will. And honestly, if a student called me multiple times after work,
probably you'll pick
it up. I would pick it up.
You'll
fold. Because obviously it's an emergency. And you know, you're with people, like whatever. And I think Ministry is unique in some ways.
Ministry is very fuzzy.
It is very fuzzy.
It's like, oh, my entire life is work and also none of it.
Exactly. I remember when I was a student, I texted Josh Reynolds a theological question on a Saturday night. And he kind of made fun of me for that. He was like, you think I'm going to respond to that? Honestly, like, I'm with my family, you know?
But wait, he made fun of you in person or over text? Because if he made fun of you over text, he is responding.
No. He didn't text me back until like Monday or Tuesday that next week.
Fair play.
I think he actually mentioned it on the podcast when we had him on. He like made some comment.
Yeah, he probably did. He probably did.
And it just didn't occur to me that he like didn't like that was work for him and that he wasn't going to do that over the weekend. As a student, it just didn't occur to me. But now I'm like, of course I'm not responding to stuff over the weekend. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm trying to enjoy my life here. And not like in a mean way, but just like responding to students is work to me. It's plain and simple, you know?
That makes sense.
And not like, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be, but I just need to have boundaries so I can enjoy my life because my life is not work. And I think sometimes that just doesn't occur to students, but it's fine. You know, I'm just like casually trying to set up boundaries and that's okay. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I feel like I'm reaching that point of the day where I'm getting kind of tired and slap happy. So everything's just kind of coming out with less of a filter.
Well, you know, Joe, it's all about finding that balance. Sometimes you respond to the student. Sometimes you respond to the student. Sometimes you don't respond to the students. Sometimes you chuck your phone into the ocean. Sometimes you don't check your phone into the ocean. This is a late night talks with Joe like and Zachary. Right we're now. Like, that's Gosh. Funny. Well, I mean, I do hope you find the balance, Joe. I mean, it's hard. I wish you could make the text just like be held back automatically and then push to your phone on Monday or something. Yep, but
that would be awesome.
I can't. That is impossible. Yep. Just start making fun of people for texting on the weekend. Like publicly shame them into changing their behavior.
And if any of my students are listening right now.
You consider yourself publicly shamed.
It's okay. Like you can text me. Just know I'm not going to respond because I honestly, and Zachary, you even know this, and you're like a close friend of mine. I don't respond to anybody quickly at all.
He doesn't respond to
anybody. Yeah, and it's really not. It's not a personal thing. It's like I do my best to respond to my family quickly, and that's it. And like everybody else is just like as it comes. I'll do it as I can.
But. The thing is, I think because of your job, though, your volume is just insanely much higher than mine. Like, well, because you work in a job where you interact with so many students, like, I assume, like, how many texts do you think you get in a day?
I don't know. Is there a way to see that?
I think, in settings, yeah, there is. But what's your estimation?
My estimation is probably, like, 50 to 60.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a ton.
I don't know.
So it kind of makes sense that stuff doesn't. See that. Yeah, because I think if you go to, like, the screen time and then notifications, I think you can see, like, in a week, maybe, how many notifications you got for my message, which equates to how many texts.
I don't know. My eyes are being weird.
Here, let's see. Today you received 92 messages.
There you go.
Yesterday you received 77, my word. Saturday, 49. Friday, 137.
Is that just notifications? Or is
Thursday, 169. I'm giving just the iMessage, which is a number only. So there's some pretty high numbers. Then Wednesday, 154, my word. So like I'm just going to go the week view. And like this last week, Joe received 727 iMessages.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sure that counts group chats crazy. And, like, you don't have to respond to all of them or whatever. But that 727 iMessages is too many darn iMessages. I think it's called messages now. I remember.
You know what? The next student that gives me crap about not responding, I'm just going to tell him that.
727 is a good little bit. I think I get, like, probably under 150 a week, surely. Probably under 100.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, on Thursday, I got, like, 169 because...
Are you just in a ton of group chats?
Some, but honestly, I do communicate with a lot of individual students.
Okay.
And, like, yeah.
That's aggressive, Joe. Like, texting is not that good. Like,
I agree.
That's aggressive for texting.
I agree, and I don't want it.
So that's why you need to call Joe to get stuff done. Like, he's 709 messages.
Exactly. If you actually want to get a hold of me, probably calling me is the best way to do it. Like, if you needed something immediately.
I feel like that might just lead to the opposite problem when I have 700 voicemails.
No, that's true. I don't get voicemails, though.
So. Oh, you like let them auto-delete? Or?
Well, no, it just my phone is weird, and it never set it up, and I never set it up, and it gives me error messages when I try to set it up, so I just never did.
See, that's genius right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually.
Playing four-dimensional chess. Man, everyone else is playing checkers.
Yeah, if I get voice messages, I'm going to go crazy. Voicemails, I mean.
Voicemails, yeah. You got to watch out. Because in a lot of jobs, it's like, oh, you've got your calls, you've got your work texts, even though people are, it's personal, people are doing work texts. And you've got like mails through like a bunch of different email accounts. Oh, you've got like LinkedIn. It's like,
it's
okay.
Too much.
It's like too many places to check. It's just give me much. Like one or two places to check, but this is a lot of checking going on.
Yep.
Too much checking.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're tired, so we're probably going to call the podcast now.
I feel like such an old
but,
man.
But I mean, it's pretty late, you know, almost 11, which is definitely past my bedtime and probably past yours. I can't help but thinking your logo kind of looks on your phone that's like unreleased, kind of looks like the Tesla logo a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Just from an angle, maybe. So don't tell Elon Musk or I won't tell Elon he's going to sue you for sure. But
it kind of does, like a T.
Maybe like a squished down version from an angle or whatever. You put your, you got your bifold wallet going on.
Dude.
It's got a lot of stuff in there.
I got a new wallet.
Yeah, it does look new. You've got a lot of stuff in there. Or maybe it looks like you've got a lot of stuff in there. Maybe you don't, but it's thick wads of cash. Oh, so your ID automatically flips out. That's kind of cool. So oh, like when Kurt pulls you over.
Keep my ID here.
Okay, that makes sense.
I have a fix for my family there. Yeah, this wallet is amazing.
Why is it amazing?
This wallet is amazing because it's amazing.
Roger that.
Yeah.
You know who you are if you're listening.
You know who you are.